This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique, Beethoven's Pastoral, Mahler's Resurrection. Symphonies have often had programs to guide the listener through the story they're trying to tell. But when is a program not a program? When the composer implies one but tells you to use your imagination? When he begins one and then changes his mind? Or when he writes one out and then tells you to ignore it? Gustav Mahler had decided to call his third symphony The Happy Life, A Midsummer Night's Dream. But he did add, not after Shakespeare, critics and Shakespeare mavens please note. Before he wrote any music, he worked out a scenario in five sections. What the forest tells me, what the trees tell me, what twilight tells me, what the cuckoo tells me, and what the child tells me. As the music took shape, though, in the summer of 1895, The Happy Life disappeared, replaced by Happy Science, after Mahler's readings of Friedrich Nietzsche. The trees, twilight, and the cuckoo came out, and flowers, animals, and morning bells took their place. Mahler added What the Night Tells Me, and decided to begin the symphony with the triumphal entry of summer, which would include an element of something Dionysiac, and probably even frightening, the way such rituals actually were in ancient Greece. In less than 3 weeks, he composed all four middle movements, and by the time his composing vacation came to an end, he had outlined the first movement, completed the Adagio finale, even though he didn't know it would be the finale, and composed two songs. It was the most productive summer of his life. The next summer, he was back at his composing cottage, and as he was working out his scoring, he realized that the entry of summer and the awakening of Pan needed to be together in the first movement. He deleted his proposed finale, What the Child Tells Me, which he used a few years later as the finale to his fourth symphony, and the Adagio of the third now became its finale. By August 1896, Mahler had settled on his eighth and last scenario for the symphony. The new subtitle would be A Midsummer Noon's Dream, and the individual movements would be First Part, Pan Awakes, Summer Comes Marching In, Bacchic Procession. Second Part, What the Flowers in the Meadow Tell Me, What the Animals in the Forest Tell Me, What Humanity Tells Me, What the Angels Tell Me, What Love Tells Me. But at the 1902 premiere, the program page showed no titles at all, only tempo and generic indications, tempo diminuetto, rondo, alto solo, etc. Later that year, Mahler wrote to a critic friend, "Beginning with Beethoven, there is no modern music without its underlying program. But no music is worth anything if you first have to tell the listener what experience lies behind it, respectively, what he is supposed to experience in it. And so yet again, Perriott, let him beware every program. You just have to bring along ears and a heart, and not least, willingly surrender to the rhapsodist. Some residue of mystery always remains, even for the creator." End quote. He wrote to another friend that those titles were an attempt on my part to provide non-musicians with something to hold on to, that it didn't work, as in fact it could never work, and that it led only to misinterpretations of the most horrendous sort, became painfully clear all too quickly. It's the same disaster that had overtaken me on previous and similar occasions, and now I have once and for all given up. These titles will surely say something to you after you know the score. You will draw intimations from them about how I imagined the steady intensification of feeling from the indistinct, unbending, elemental existence of the forces of nature to the tender formation of the human heart, which in turn points toward and reaches a region beyond itself, God." End quote. The first movement of Mahler's Third Symphony starts in high spirits with a melody that recalls the finale of Brahms' First Symphony, but then it plunges into gloom. We hear the drum beats of a funeral procession. Cries and outrage. The movement seesaws between a series of dark marches and the twittering of birdsong, as if something ominous were hiding behind the flowerings of summer. Each episode either sinks into oblivion or is overwhelmed by the next. But then catastrophe strikes. The seesawing of emotions continues until the bright side finally triumphs. This movement contains the seeds of many of the themes in the rest of the symphony, which is remarkable considering that it was the last part of the work Mahler wrote. In its final form, the first movement is the entire first section of the symphony. Between this movement and the finale is a series of shorter character pieces, beginning with the Blumenstück, or flower piece, which was the first music he composed for this work. This is a delicately sentimental minuet, contrasted by a middle section with slightly sinister sources of energy. For all of Mahler's grand universes and enormous orchestrations, his symphonies are filled with passages for only a few instruments, like pieces of 18th century chamber music strung together and piled on top of one another to create a symphonic world. In the third movement, What the Animals in the Forest Tell Me, Mahler reworks his song Oplesung im Sommer, Relief in Summer, whose text tells of waiting for Lady Nightingale to start singing as soon as the cuckoo is through. There is a magical moment in this movement in which a fanfare in the trumpet on stage transforms into a beautiful melody as it blends into the distant sound of the posthorn off stage. There are some moments of Mahler's signature sarcastic parody, some restless, dark magic, And finally, the brass leads us to the big finish. The fourth movement, What Humanity Tells Me, starts in near silence. The back and forth motion in the low strings recalls the very opening of the symphony, while the harps toll the bells. The mezzo-soprano enters with the message of humanity in the Midnight Song from Friedrich Nietzsche's Also Sprach Zarathustra, O Man, Take Heed. The darkness at the end of the movement moves without a break into the world of bells and What the Angels Tell Me. The text of the fifth movement comes from the collection Des Knaben Wunderhorn, The Boy's Magic Horn, a source of many of Mahler's song texts. Three angels sing of Jesus giving comfort to his apostles at the Last Supper, though the interjections of Du sollst ja nicht weinen, but you mustn't weep, are Mahler's own. Mahler realized that the decision to end his symphony with an adagio was a very special one. In adagio movements, he explained, everything is resolved in quiet. In fast movements, everything is motion, change, flux. Therefore, I have ended my second and third symphonies contrary to custom, with adagios, the higher form as distinguished from the lower. End quote. In his opening melody, Mahler pays tribute to the slow movement of Beethoven's Last String Quartet. To a modern listener, it also recalls the wistful pop song, I'll Be Seeing You. Soon, though, the music is caught up in turmoil, and before the final triumph, it once again encounters the catastrophe that interrupted the first movement. The original title of the Adagio Finale, What Love Tells Me, refers to spiritual love, what the Greeks called agape, and Mahler's performance directions make this plain. Written in the score is his insistence that the immense final bars with their thundering kettle drum be played not with brute strength, but with rich, noble tone. That the last measure not be cut off sharply, so that there is some softness to the edge between sound and silence. When Mahler visited Jean Sibelius in 1907, the two composers talked about the essence of symphony. Mahler rejected his friend's belief in severity, style, and logic, saying that a symphony must be like the world, it must embrace everything. 12 years earlier, while working on his third, Mahler had remarked that to call this a symphony is really incorrect, as it does not follow the usual form. The term symphony, to me, this means creating a world with all the technical means available. The climate has changed in the 100 years since then, and today's audience is much more inclined to come to Mahler with that willingness to surrender for which he had hoped. But even though he finally rejected them, we can look at the titles Mahler gave to his Third Symphony as a series of attempts to put a universe into words, the universe of ideas, emotions, and associations that lay behind the musical choices Mahler made as he composed. They are his guideposts, as well as ours. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.